Okay, this is the hour. We'll take your phone calls with Robert Murch as we talk about Ouija board experiences, the game Charlie Charlie. By the way, if you have played the game Charlie Charlie, if you're a young person who happens to be awake at the wee hours, check in with us. I want to know if anything happened. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Robert's work as well when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Robert Murch with us, and of course, your phone calls. Robert, you head up what is called the Talking Board Historical Society. You founded it. You created it. What is it?
Well, you know, a bunch of us collectors and historians, you know, just decided that the Talking Board has become such a pop icon, and it now is really kind of on the uptick. There's a lot of interest in this stuff. We decided to found this nonprofit organization, and we received our nonprofit federal status. So what we do is we research and we kind of commemorate different achievements in Talking Board history. So if we research one of the founders, like we did putting a plaque in where the Ouija board got its name, putting in headstones for people who were part of its origination who don't have one. We go around trying to make sure that the history isn't lost again. And that's really what we do.
Do you get a lot of response?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, to some people, historians, there's a pretty big response. And, the Smithsonian, they've been great. They actually, I think they're seeing this revival in people's interest in spirit communication devices. And because the Ouija board is often people's first experience with the paranormal, they finally see that as something historic. You know, it's been around 125 years. So, they've written articles about it. They just did a show called My $1 Million Invention that I got to consult on and appeared on. And it was, they want to know the history. Where did this come from? And so we get a big response from the historical community, but we also get a huge response from people's stories. Just that, you know, everyone has a Talking Board story.
They sure
and Charlie Charlie is the latest in this experience.
With these stories and these experiences, of course, Hollywood has taken the note. There's a movie out called Ouija. Were you involved in that?
Yeah, you know, it's always funny when your hobbies and obsessions take you all over. And I'm very lucky to have traveled the world researching and consulting. And I consult on a lot of TV movies. And in 2009, I reached out to Hasbro to find out when I heard that there might be a movie going on. And so from 2009 really up until 2014, consulted with the head Bennett Schneer of their entertainment department about Ouijasticians, what people believe the Ouija board is, what are people's stories. And it was pretty cool to see some of those things show up in the movie. And, of course, the movie added its own. One of the neater parts of that movie were that in the beginning scene, a little girl picks up the planchette, which is the movable piece on the board, and she looks through the hole that normally lands on the letters to spell them out, and she sees the ghost through it. So she believes she's looking through the eye to the other side. That never existed before. But now that Hollywood used that and came up with it, I see kids doing it all the time. Every time I've used a Ouija board in a group since that movie, people will pick up the planchette to look through it. So Hollywood has a huge effect on our beliefs.
Do they tamper with the storyline, though, to the point, you know, they need to make it dark. They need to make it scary. But is that real life?
But it's real life to some people. I mean, these stories and urban legends, you know, they come from somewhere. So people do have these kind of experiences that they have. I think Americans have always loved to be scared. We want the spooky. So when people sit down at Charlie Charlie and Ouija board, you know, they're laughing, they're joking, oh, let's play this. But then when it moves, and again, you know, YouTube is great as you talked about, for these videos that just went viral with Charlie. I mean, people are screaming and running out of the room. Like, they are genuinely afraid. And I think, yeah, these things really hit something primal inside of us, because we want to know if there's something else out there. And then as soon as it works, we scream and run away, because we're really not prepared for it to actually make communication, you know? And I think that's why so many of these devices end up in people's closets,
yeah,
only being used a few times.
Let's go to the phones now. Mark is our first-time caller out of Colorado, truck driving. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Howdy. I had a story for your guest there.
Sure.
I'm a charismatic Christian, I pray in tongues, and back in 1978, when I was a junior in high school, we had free periods, and there was a group of kids playing with a Ouija board during their free period in class there, and mm-hmm. I was one of these kids that was an easy target, carried a Bible, all that kind of stuff, and I walked into that room, and I was just praying in the spirit, just praying in tongues, and that little lens thing that you use with the Ouija board, it flew across the room, straight away from me, just like 15 or 20 feet.
The planchette.
Whatever it's called, I don't know. But anyway, it just flew like 15 or 20 feet across the room, and all the kids were there. They watched it go, and then they all turned around. It was like something from a movie. They all turned around in the exact opposite direction to see, and they were looking at me. And I was just kind of wondering if you'd ever known anybody that these things just cannot operate around.
Yeah, you know, first, thanks for calling and sharing that story. It's actually very common. You know, one of the things we hear a lot is that the planchette just flew off the board. And again, my personal belief on this is that there are some people who just have a natural ability. And again, whether that ability is, talking to the other side, whether it's psychological, or whether, again, this is telekinetic and you're actually, you know, whatever's going on with you actually made that thing fly across the room, it's common. It happens. Some people, they sit at the board, the planchette starts moving immediately. I mean, literally, they sit down and it goes. Other people, it takes forever and they have to play it with other people. And then other people, it never works. The minute they come into the room, all communication stops, as if there's some kind of block to it. So I think we all have some, you know, we're all emitting something, and we're, you know, we're receivers and we're senders, and some of us are just sending different signals. And your story is common. I've heard it many, many times, again, about the planchette flying off the board, and it's just over. That's the end of it.
What would you recommend to people who don't want to dabble with a Ouija board? They're at a party and somebody pulls one out. Can they run away? What do they do?
Yeah, I mean, if you're concerned but don't want to put your hands on the planchette, because ultimately, I think what people believe who have a hard time with the Ouija board is that they believe that the spirit is actually coming through them to move the planchette, that they're moving it, it's their hands, but it's the energy of something else. And so if that's your belief and you don't want any part of it, then, you know, stand back and watch. But you may also feel that, you know, just being in the room is putting you at danger, which, you know, I've had many, many hours, lengthy conversations with Lorraine Warren, who has an interesting take on this stuff, which is it's all conjuring. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're using a crystal ball, tarot cards, just asking if you're there, can you knock on the wall? All of that, including the Ouija board, is dangerous because she believes you are conjuring something. So even being in the room to her when someone is doing this is not okay. And her advice would be to just leave, you know, like anything else. If you're in a room and your friend is starting to do something that you're uncomfortable with, you just find a polite way to excuse yourself and go. You're not feeling well.
Out you go. You know,
Exactly. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't be ashamed. If you're uncomfortable, get out. I would say that for the most part, again, you know, simply being in the room while it's going on, even when, you know, the board is starting to spell out things that aren't so nice, you know, you're not putting yourself, I would say, at huge danger. But again, Lorraine Warren would disagree. She would say, absolutely not. You're in the room when it's conjuring. You're still part of making contact and using your energy.
Okay, let's go to Gordon in Lakeland, Florida. That's where the Detroit Tigers play in the spring training days. Go ahead, Gordon.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure.
And now, there are many of your listeners that are Christians, but this is something that may not be a widely known fact, even among those who believe that the Bible is historically and prophetically accurate. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, contact with the dead, the old was prohibited. The word is necromancers, or it's like, for example, you know, the word necros comes from the dead. And it's repeated in the New Testament, and I believe Galatians 5:20. And my point is I'm not trying to preach to anyone or convert them, but many of us believe that the Bible is historically and scientifically, has science in there, has made prophecies and predictions, and that the Bible is accurate on these things. And so, you know, with all these things, we should keep an open mind. What if the Bible is correct, and what if these things are dangerous? And it's like taking steroids to get stronger, where you do want to get stronger, but this is a shortcut that's dangerous. What if it can open up a shortcut that's not healthy? So in case anyone didn't catch that, that was in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and in Galatians chapter 5. You can just go to the NIV and you can do a keyword search for the word witchcraft. And in the New Testament, the word for witchcraft is the Greek word pharmakeia, which means both taking drugs and also conjuring spirits, because sometimes people use drugs to contact the spirit world. So I just wanted to mention that, because not everyone that's a Bible-believing Christian may have heard all the nuances.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Good feedback.
Yeah.
Do you have... Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, that your caller that just called in is absolutely right, and it's kind of why I always go back to what people's spiritual backgrounds are. And I was raised as an Orthodox Jew, and so anyone who's raised in the Orthodox religion, ghosts, demons, angels, all of those things are very real. You know, they're just part of what you grow up with. And, you know, the Old Testament does talk about, as well as the New Testament, not talking with the dead. And I hear that, and I agree that, you know, it's supposed to be forbidden. Unfortunately, and part of human nature is the minute we're told not to do something, we want to do it. And intention, you know, one of the great conversations I've had with Karen Dahlman, as we've talked about, is really intention. What are you trying to do? You know, so if you come at the Ouija board and your intention is just to say, you know, hey, what are the lottery numbers? You know, are you putting yourself at great risk? No, probably not.
Well, you're not going to get those lottery numbers, though, are you?
No, you know, I haven't yet. With all the boards I have, I would really like those lottery numbers. It's never happened. And so, again, that's part of it. And for people who believe all of these devices are awful and evil, I'm going to throw some numbers at you, which is, they're kind of staggering. So Hasbro never really talks about, you know, sales figures, like most people don't, but they have said this. From 1967, the first full year Parker Brothers was making the Ouija board and was in production, to 2004, 13 million Ouija boards were sold worldwide. So 13 million, and that's just 67 to 2004. So imagine how many millions were made from 1890 to 2015.
Jeez.
And especially with this movie and this huge...
Oh my gosh, and us talking about it and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens.
So when you think about the millions and millions of Ouija boards that are out there, and then the real kind of stories where bad things have happened, it's so small comparatively. And I'm not diminishing those stories, because for some people, the Ouija board has been tied to some, you know, bad things in their life. Like they've had, you know, besides whatever else might be going on in their life or mental conditions or whatever. But statistically, it's so small compared to the number of them that have been out there, that the generations that have been playing with them. And, you know, like the caller called in and said, you know, hey, if you're religious and this is against your religion and, you know, you follow the Bible, stay away from it. No one's going to force you to play or do with any of these things. But if you do get into trouble and you feel like you have opened something up, the great part about it is so easy to get help, whether it's from your religious affiliation or whether it's from your local paranormal group.
Before we go to more calls, Robert, what's in store for you? What are some of your next projects?
Well, the next project really for us at the Talking Board Historical Society was we did OuijaCon to raise money for these different things we want to do. And the first one is the woman who named the Ouija board, kind of the mother of the Ouija board and the woman who helped get it patented, she's actually buried in Denver, Colorado.
Whoa.
And she does not have a gravestone. And so talking with the descendants and the people who own the plot, we are going to put in a gravestone for her, which will, you know, mark where she's buried, but it will also tell her story.
Why don't you make it look like a Ouija board?
We did that for the guy who patented the Ouija board, and this one will be all about her naming the Ouija board. It'll definitely be connected.
Have the planchette read out her name whenever anybody goes and looks at her.
That would be really cool.
That would be cool indeed. Time for one more quick call, then we'll take the break. Miat in New York City. Hi, Miat. Go ahead.
Yes, George. Hi, George.
There you are.
I need you to hold me over because I want to first respond to a comment. And I hope, George, you will bring on some black scholars, because Robert is sort of shaking his head about the uprising. But when people are in a situation for decades and many years where they have no recourse in terms of what happened to Frederick Gray, literally lynched on the sidewalk outside his home for virtually nothing, and a cover-up in terms of the driver being responsible. Please read Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness, The Condemnation of Blackness, and other research and books. Go on YouTube, because it's something that's targeting black people, and the Department of Justice makes no response to the racketeering in these cities, such as what happened in Ferguson, targeting black people.
Miat, you've got the right show at the wrong time, I'm afraid. We're not talking about that tonight. Those are for open lines, okay? We're going to come back in a moment, wrap things up with Robert Murch, and take final phone calls as we talk about Ouija boards on Coast to Coast AM. When you call the guest, stay on topic, or I can't use your call. If you want to call in like Mayette did with a different topic, that's open line time, folks, which is a Friday or whenever we do open lines. But if there's a guest, stay on topic, if you would. Hey, August 22nd, Toronto. I'm going to be there, a live stage event. Alex Jones, one of my guests, Nick Pope, as we talk about UFOs as well. You can come on out by simply going to this website to get those tickets, which always go fast. GeorgeNoriLive.com. GeorgeNoriLive.com. Back with you, and of course, Robert Murch with us as we talk about Ouija boards. And Robert, for folks who want to follow you, what do you have for us? Websites, Facebook?
Sure. You know, if you want to see what I'm up to and learn a little bit more about me, you can go to www.robertmurch.com. That's M-U-R-C-H. Facebook, I have a public Facebook page, so if you go to facebook.com/talkingboards, you'll go right to my page. You can look me up there. And you know, if you want to learn more about the Talking Board Historical Society and what all of these people are doing, that's the letters tbhs.org. And you can donate. Again, we are a total nonprofit. Your money is a tax-free donation, and we try to mark and celebrate all these different Talking Board events in history.
Now, with these, you said you had, what, 1,000 Ouija boards at home or someplace?
I do. I have, you know, over 500 different talking boards. And then I have, you know, if you count variations and some duplicates, you definitely get into the thousands. And I don't just collect the boards, but again, everything pop culture. So sheet music, articles, books, you name it. So my house is literally a living museum to the Ouija board. So I try to keep a lot of the cooler, older, more interesting things in the house, and then I rotate them out. And some stuff is in storage, with the goal someday would be to have a physical Ouija board museum.
Okay, let's go back to the calls now. We've got Sally in Mandan, North Dakota, east of the Rockies there for us. Sally, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I'm very nice. It's very nice to meet you. And
you too.
I've been listening for 10 years, and I am a Coast to Coast insider.
Well, thank you.
And I have you also on my Android device.
Oh, good. You got the app. Super.
Yeah. And I absolutely love the music you play, because I can tell you from my era, you are romantic.
Sometimes I am.
And so anyway, thank you for your guest tonight, Robert Murch. And I do have a story I would like to share. My sister and I, when we were just right out of high school, had our very first apartment. And, you know, first time away from the folks, and she had this Ouija board. Ooh, you know, going to play the Ouija board. So we were both a little bit scared. We didn't even hardly read all of the instructions. We were so excited to just get to it. And so we just decided to, let's ask the initials of the man we're going to marry. And it came up with MLT. And I said, no, not for me. No, no, no. And then it came up with the same initials again.
Now, did you know an MLT at all?
Oh, man, did I ever.
Oh, boy.
Michael Lawrence, oh, I shouldn't even tell his name. Never mind. He was the cock of the walk in high school. He's a really good-looking man. Very cocky, very ladies' man, mm-hmm. very popular. And I just thought he was just too out there for me. And so anyway, we dated. I mean.
You did date. Okay.
We did date. He came back from boot camp, and from the Navy, actually.
And this is after the Ouija board? Spell this out.
Like 2 months.
Okay.
And, gosh, I was intimidated, but we lived right across the street from one another. And it was a very small town, and he called me, and he asked me if I would go to the movies with him, and I tried to back out, and he said, oh, come on, it's just a movie, let's just go, you know. And so we did, and that was fun. I actually had a lot of fun with him, and he was only going to be home for 8 weeks before he had to go to Pensacola. But we wrote back and forth and ended up getting married.
Ha!
But,
how about that?
It was not a good marriage.
It didn't last, did it?
Well, it lasted 22 miserable years.
22 miserable years?
Yes.
All of them?
Tried to leave him about 10 times.
Oh, my gosh. Why'd you keep going back?
Because he was very persuasive, very beguiling.
Abusive?
Emotionally, yes.
Emotionally. Well, that's
very, very emotionally abusive, yeah.
But the Ouija board was right, wasn't it?
You know, it was. In fact, the reason I'm saying, I married the guy twice, and his name came up twice.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, I know.
All right, Robert, react.
Yeah, I you know, first, I'm so sorry you had 22 miserable years, and, you know, that's awful. I'm glad you're in a better place. It sounds like it. But, you know, again, intentions bring to the Ouija board. So asking who you're going to marry, great question. people who ask, you know, what's the lottery numbers? Great question. Answering things that might be positive to you, and hopefully and unfortunately that wasn't, but your marriages would be positive. You know, asking when I'm going to die and how I'm going to die, bad questions to ask the Ouija board, right? Because you're just going to be scared and upset. The Ouija board tells you you're going to die by getting hit by a car that's red. For the rest of your life, you're going to be scared to cross the street anytime you see a red car. So I would say the questions you ask the board are really important, just like this Charlie game. So, you know, again, my mother raised me to say, don't ask a question you don't really want the answer to. I think that's really, really important.
What an amazing story, Robert. Just an amazing story. Now, here's a question. How much of the Ouija board really is us as opposed to some spirit or demon?
I think it's all 100% us. I think, you know, again, it's the telephone that we happens to be the tool that some people are using to reach out. And I've said this before, you know, we're talking on the phone, we get into a big fight, we say horrible things to each other, we, you know, threaten each other, we hang up the phone. You don't take your iPhone, throw it out the window and say, I'll never have another one of these in my house again. But with the Ouija board, we do. So we put the communication and we blame the board. But ultimately, what's happening with any of these devices is it's us and something else, us and our subconscious, us and something else, us and maybe some telepathy. And so all of these things, they only work because you're open to them working. And it can't work unless there's a door in you that opens. So you are one half of the equation. The thing you are talking to is the other half. And again, the board, the device you're using, it just happens to be the tool that works best for you. And as we spoke about, there are psychics and mediums who don't need any tools. And then there are other people who just, for some reason, that gift, that ability doesn't work unless they use one of these tools. So even though the boards and the devices have these myths and these urban legends and all of these stories that have lasted, the Ouija board has been around 125 years because ultimately we want to talk to something. We want to make contact. We want to know.
That's great stories, too. Joe is in Slimar, California. Hey, Joseph, welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Good morning, George, and good morning, Robert.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to let you know about what happened in our family. In our family, we were always taught not to play with the Ouija board. And one day, my aunt still doesn't know that our family knows this about one of our cousins. But we get a frantic call from this one aunt, and she comes down to pick up my mom. We're thinking something medically occurred. When my mom gets back, she comes back very surprised and lets me know that the reason why they were in the hospital is because a cousin of mine had a horrible experience with the Ouija board. Apparently, her voice changed, and she started growling. And she started attacking her friends whom she was playing the Ouija board with. Currently, that same house, my aunt still lives there, by the way. Other paranormal stuff has been happening there, and it's kind of strange. Her house actually has one of those luminous crosses that appeared, and now people come to that house to pray, I guess, to a shrine that they have there. But since then, the family's been, you know, very, you know, scared of getting close to any Ouija board, you know? So, it's a very strange situation. And you know, out here in the city I live in, there's a lot of paranormal stuff that happens here almost every day. Yeah, it's, you know, it's just kind of a strange area, I guess.
I love that. And Robert, the Ouija board itself, as we've talked about, you know, whether it's an individual or a demonic force or spirit, I mean, if somebody wanted to summon up, and we talked about this earlier, but if somebody wanted to summon up a demon, you don't need a Ouija board just to do that, do you?
No, you know, you don't. You just need the intent, you know, the want to do it. And the Ouija board, placing your hands on the planchette, or Charlie, you know, putting the pencil and making, you know, the grid for this, all of those are ritual. You know, and people, we as humans, we love ritual because it helps put us and our minds in a place where we can, quote, make contact. So all of these devices, they help us because they help us open that door inside of us that, again, is making contact with something, your subconscious, a demonic entity, a spirit, whatever, you know, you believe you're talking to. That's what these things do. So ritual is incredibly important. Prayer, anything that you do that helps you set up. So, you know, sitting down and having a seance and darkening the room and lighting candles and saying something ahead of time. You know, the movie Ouija added another layer where before they use the Ouija board, they say a poem. And they also circle the board for each player. All of those things actually help because they help you believe that what you are doing is helping create the communication. So you don't need anything. There are people who can just call and do it. And for anyone who watches shows like Supernatural or Buffy the Vampire Slayer or any show that deals with this, there through the centuries are lots of ways and symbols you can use to call and conjure anything. And for Americans, you know, they believe that that's possible through the Ouija board, but you don't need any of those things to do it.
Let's go to Seattle, Washington. It's Debbie's turn, west of the Rockies. Debbie, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Robert.
Hi.
I have a brief comment for both of you. Robert, too bad about them lottery numbers, huh?
Thank you. I keep trying.
George, I've been listening to you for 5 years, and I think what speaks to everything is your story about your former coworker who lost everything after he dabbled with the Ouija board.
Yeah.
I really enjoy your show, and I'm glad I got to speak to you. Thank you.
All right, Debbie, thanks. Let me tell you very quickly, Robert, that story. When I'm in St. Louis doing my local show years ago called The Nighthawk, I was doing a program on Ouija boards, and I had my producer bring the Ouija board into the studio. Everything went wrong at a time where nothing used to go wrong. Lights would go out. Cart machines, which is what we used to have to play the commercials, they got screwed up. The board was screwed up. I told the producer, Howard, I said, take this thing, get it out of here right now. Take it away. And he did. He took it out of the studio. Everything started working again. It was amazing. Well, he apparently gave the Ouija board to one of our news guys. His name was Daryl. I didn't know that at the time. And about a day or two later, Daryl got fired. Bad luck for him. And I ran into him about a year later. You know, I had known that he had the Ouija board. And I said, Daryl, how you doing? He said, I'm not doing well. And I said, what's going on? And he said, well, I don't know. Ever since, you know, you guys gave me that Ouija board, my life's gone downhill. And, I mean, he lost the relationship. He lost his job and everything else. I told him to get rid of it, and he did, and things got better for him. So what the heck happened to him?
Well, you know, so is it that because he had some, you know, kind of deep-rooted feeling that Ouija boards might be bad and that caused him to subconsciously make his life bad? Or
I don't know. I don't know or whether it was cursed, because I had bad luck with it too.
Yeah, and so, and again, there are people like John Zaffis who spend their whole life kind of going after these items that are cursed, that people believe have caused this. And, you know, I think, you know, in all your explorations of the unknown, your mind is an amazing thing. So if you believe things are kind of bad, I think I believe your mind can affect the physical world. So you could, you know, everyone believes uncomfortableness around them can cause things to go wonky just as much as I would believe that. Is it possible that something negative was attached to the board that did it?
Who knows?
You know, but if that stuff happens to people, yeah, just, you know, get rid of it. You know, again, look us up on the internet, the Talking Board Historical Society. We take many of these boards that people have had bad experiences with, and we document the stories.
Al in Palm Coast, Florida. You'll be our last caller, Al. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Norrie?
Good. Good. Thank
or
you.
Or morning, rather. Sorry.
That's right.
And Mr. Merch, how you doing?
Mr. Merch is good.
Not too bad. I just want to say I really enjoyed the show tonight. I was glad to hear a little bit of a different topic on. I've been listening to the show since the Pa Rump Nevada days.
Long time.
But I'm a night owl, so it works great for me.
Yes.
But I just wanted to say, as far as the Ouija board is concerned, you know, if I myself, I don't dabble with it, but, you know, I don't ever try to infringe upon other people's liberties to indulge. But I was going to say that if you do Google it and you just start reading everything, you know, clicking on every little thing that pops up on it, you'll find that about 90-some% of it is usually all negative.
That's true. No, you're absolutely right. Robert, as we wrap things up, you're going to keep your 1,000-plus talking boards, aren't you?
Absolutely, and add to them all the time, because the mystery of its origins keep unraveling.
So don't throw away your Ouija board. Give it to Robert. You would take it, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And I will document the story.
It's like a graveyard of stuff. Robert, thanks. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Robert Merch. His websites are all linked up at Coast to Coast. Plus, he's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can get them all. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.